Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Stephen, you on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It already came on, so we already gone 5 seconds.
Didn't say Blog Talk Radio. What's going on?
It did come on, said Blog Talk Radio. Your show will be starting here in 5, and then count down. I didn't know if you was here or you were the one who was doing it or whatever. I don't know how it was.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, prisoner advocate and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We have on with us today, once again, Stephen Bobo, a former correction officer, prisoner, and now passionate advocate to prevent juvenile incarceration and help the youth nationwide to achieve their goals. Stephen's philosophy, as many others, is that it not only takes a village to raise a child, but a nation to ensure this monumental miracle can happen and will happen. So we're going to welcome Stephen Bobo once again to give us an update on what's been going on and maybe to fill the audience who have not heard his story before a little bit of about himself. So Stephen, you are on with us, so we welcome you, and we want to let you speak and tell us a little bit about what's been going on.
I want to thank you once again for having me on the show. It's a great honor to be back again. Right now, it's kind of quiet. Our group on Facebook, we're really beginning to pick up a little bit of momentum. We're coming together. We're supposed to go speak in Pensacola, Florida, in August, and for the ACLU. They want us to come speak there. Hopefully, some other things pop up, but you know. It's hard to book shows and stuff like that around the holidays. It's kind of close. So that's one of our main topics we're trying to do now, try to get that one taken care of. But as of right now, it's been real, real slow, but we're reaching out to people. We're getting contacts and stuff like that.
Great. Have you gotten many calls since the last show as far as people wanting to be involved?
Yes, ma'am. I got a couple calls. I talked to a couple guys, and a wife and husband's incarcerated, and he talked to his friend who's really into this, the thing that I'm doing right now for the prison, the school to prison pipeline. And so we talked, and I gave him my address, so we're going to write each other so we can stay in contact. And if I'm able to get where he's at, I can go see him and we can talk. Because that's one thing I do want to say, top contact with people who are on board with this thing that we're doing. Because we need more people, more soldiers in this battle, because everybody needs help, because these kids really need us.
Exactly. So can you add a little bit more about, for those that didn't hear what you're really about in previous interviews, can you just fill in real quickly about the school-to-prison pipeline? And what your goals are at this time?
The school to prison pipeline is, as it sounds like, it's a pipeline that I feel that is out there. There's books about it. I've been reading books about it. We've been talking to people about it. There's videos about it. There's on DVDs about it. It's about the place that these children, they get caught in the system. It's a pipeline. Like a pipeline that holds water that goes into from place to place, that's what the pipeline is. It's something that keeps these kids locked down, that they can't get out. So my idea is, if I can get enough people together, we can be able to stop this pipeline. Or not stop it. If we can't stop it, we can dam it up enough that we make another place for it to go. And a place where we can go is not going to the penitentiary, going to education.
Excellent. You know, I want to say one thing. I noticed there are a lot of advocates on Facebook. There are a lot of people that have young ones that are incarcerated now, and I often wonder why these kids are lost. This is a good example, because we're talking about what you're doing, which is very good, We're talking about how people can participate, how they can help without even leaving their home. And you have gotten a couple of calls. I have seen that there's been a lot of likes on the video. There's been a lot of people that have shared your video. And yet I assume that by now you would have been getting many calls from people all over the country. Because we have an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses and addictions. We have an epidemic in this country of lost adolescents, juveniles, because there's no role models. There's no parent or parents in the home with them. So I am kind of really disappointed, because what you are doing is monumental, and yet anyone can take 5 minutes or a half an hour of their time to participate, to make calls, to find out from you what they can do to help. As I say, when you see the population of adolescents that are going to the Department of Youth Services, or you see them going into prison, in adult prison, you know, you wonder what happened in their lives. And I'm sure that there have to be people on Facebook who have loved ones either in the Department of Youth Services or in adult prisons, and yet none of them have come forward. And I don't understand. I mean, I can't understand why kids are having these things happening to them, because if even their own parents or their own relatives can't forward participate, then we know there's something definitely wrong.
Exactly. And, you know, and my thing of this is, I never talk bad about other people and their groups and stuff like that. But a lot of people, I believe, and there are a lot of great places, a lot of groups out there that are great, great groups. Especially the Sisters Against the System, that's a great group. JD, his groups. Me and JD are great friends. We talk a lot. We're going to do a lot of battling together. But I believe a lot of people do this to make themselves look good. And it's easy to say that you're going to stand up for something and you don't do it. You know, anybody can say, well, I'm going to go fight for this or I'm going to fight for that. And then when it comes to do it, you're nowhere to be found. My thing is this. If you want to do it, please reach out to me. We can do this together. It doesn't cost nothing to call somebody, to call some, like you said, to put things on Facebook, to ask me, I send you some things, and I can give you guys information to who you can call, who you can talk. Write letters to the kids who are in prison. Write letters to their parents to give them inspiration to say, you know what, you can keep this going. Keep them involved in your life, even though they might be in prison. It's okay. We are there for you. So my thing is this, please just reach out. I'm not asking for no donations. I'm not asking for no money. I'm asking just for people to help. And I mean, the main thing is to help these kids, because these kids are the system. The kids are the ones who are going to make us get better. These kids are going to be taking care of us one day. You know, one day we're going to get older. And they're the ones who want to take care of us when we get old. So why not put them in a place where they can excel and be better than what they are now?
Kids are out there, and they're very confused. They're very angry. They're very frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad because no child is born bad. You know, children are born innocent. And if they mess up during their adolescent years, then somebody has let them down, whether it be the system, whether it be their parents, whether it be their associates, whether it be other relatives. I can't believe it's not costing anyone anything to contact you or contact anyone that's working with the adolescents or working with any prisoners, to contact them, get involved. I mean, we have so many people on Facebook that are just chatting back and forth. You know, I was one of the co-founders for the National Alliance for Prisoners' Rights when it first started years ago. And it was all about chatting. We'd have these meetings and we'd be chatting. And I finally had to back out because I had my own organization at the time, New Vision Organization, which we were doing national work. But this is what's so frustrating, because if people want to start organizations, foundations, ministries, or whatever, to advocate for someone or a cause, then it doesn't cost money. All it does, it takes volunteers willing to spend some of their time to help.
That's it.
And this is so, so sad that we have Facebook full of people chatting back and forth, sending jokes back and forth, when we have a serious, serious issue in the United States of America with over mass incarcerations, children that are flying all over the place because they don't know which way to turn. And all it takes is a half an hour of someone's time so we can actually see what the problem is.
You know, and that's so true. And the main thing I look at, too, is if a celebrity, if some famous rapper gets up and says, well, let's talk about this. It is saying that some people, me and JD, have been talking about for years. They come out, everybody and their mother will go up there and say, hey, we support you. So you can support him because he has a name, or support him because he's an entertainer. Support me and JD, what we're saying, we're trying to do with these kids. One day these kids could be somebody you know, could be a cousin, could be a nephew, could be a niece, somebody that needs your help. These kids need us. You know, I sit back and watch these kids. I watch the news all the time. I watch all these kids get locked up, or especially look about them kids that are trying to come across the wall. You know, let's talk about that down in Mexico. Those kids don't end up in the system. That's a pipeline. That's a pipeline. You know, even though it's not, as you would think, a pipeline of kids being bad at school, that is a pipeline because they're going to put those kids in the system. And those kids are not going to get treated fairly. And some of these kids do have disabilities as ADHD and all this type of stuff. You know, these kids are more, they're not mentally retarded. They're not that. I hate to say that word, but they're not that. There's other things that they have that they need help with, and their parents can't afford to get the medical help they need. There's more stuff involved than just that. So don't put them in a system that's not going to make them any better. It's going to make them have to be better criminals. That's all the system does, is make you have to be a better criminal. That's all it does.
That's it.
You know, and these little kids don't need that. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It is a trap. And that's exactly what it is. And these kids are getting trapped into it. And us as parents are letting our kids, a lot of us are letting our kids get trapped in that because they're too busy going into the club and they're too busy wanting to be with their boyfriend or their girlfriend and have somebody else raise their kids. But that's not how it's supposed to go. You're supposed to raise your children because that's why you had children. You're supposed
exactly.
to take care of your kids. Somebody took care of you, so take care of them.
And you're right about children. There's a lot of adolescents out there, even children, little ones. They have ADD. They have their attention deficit disorders. They have ADHD, deficit hyperactivity disorders. There's so many kids out there that have so many post-traumatic stress syndrome. They talk about the military men, the veterans coming back PTSD. But what they don't realize is there's children out there who have been molested. And they are suffering, and they are, some of them even adults now, that were traumatized when they were kids. They have that PTSD.
Exactly.
They don't look at these things. The people look at these people as being criminals or disobedient children or rebellious children.
Exactly.
They don't realize that these kids and these prisoners, a lot of them are not rebellious. They're just confused. They're let down because they have these traumatic experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't
talk
to anyone, because if we can't get anyone to work with you, to contact you or other organizations that are out there trying to help these people, then that's where the problem is. Like they say, if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem.
Or the problem, yes, exactly right. And foster kids, that's another big thing. They're going to the system left and right, the foster kids. These kids don't need to be – these kids are – you know, if your kids, people give them up for adoption, then now they're foster kids, and they get into an environment that's not even able to take care of them, but they want that check to take care of them. So
exactly.
Now you push those kids. Now those kids are going through the system. And see, that's wrong. And see, that's another thing I want to talk about, too, because that is exactly what the system makes us think, that these kids are going to be well taken care of. And they're not going to be well taken care of. I'm not saying every foster home is bad, because not every foster home is bad. But the ones that are bad are the ones who kids get mistreated the worst. Because then you put those kids in the system, then I'm about to see them when I become a CEO, or I'm about to become a lawyer, I'm about to have to defend against them. And you know, it's stuff like that. We don't need that. Because one way or another, this stuff has to stop. Because it's only going to get worse before it gets better. And that's the thing that we have to understand, that we're the ones that are going to have to make this stop or put brakes on it to slow it down. Because before long, these kids, like I said, these kids go into the system and eventually they all want to get out. And then they don't know anything but how to do worse crimes. You know, family doesn't want to do anything with them. The system's you're not going to get a good job. You're not going to be able to do this. Then you can go right back to the things you did before, selling drugs, stealing cars, robbing banks, whatever. But see, it's just a system. It just repeats itself. It just repeats itself. It's just a repeating circle that we have to find a way to stop. And I pray for you guys. Please help us. Please help us.
Exactly.
That's all I think it needs is somebody to come and say, look, I want to get in contact with you, man. Is there anything I can do to help? And I would definitely put it out there for you to help. I'm, like I said, I'm not asking for no money. I'm just asking for your time to listen. And just get on Facebook and plaster my stuff out there. Let people know who I am. I'll take the heat for it. You don't have to take the heat for it. I'm big enough to take the heat for it. But these kids need somebody who they can look up to and say, hey, look, he tried to help me. And that's all I want. If for them, if I can have one kid and make it better for them, then I've done my job. That's it. I don't want I don't want no recognition. I don't need nothing but somebody say, hey, you helped my son and give me a hug. That's it. I don't need nothing else.
There's also an organization on Facebook. It's called Violence to Healing. And you might want to reach out to them, Stephen, because I think they would probably be really willing to work with you, too, on some of these things. There are some organizations that maybe, you know, you could reach out to. But if, I'm pretty sure it's Violence to Healing. And Violence to Healing. And I'll tell you, we need to reach out to people that care, not people that talk. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people on Facebook that just look for recognition with one another. It's insecurity. They need to be accepted by their peers, so they're going back and forth. But we can find out who the real advocates are. We can find out who the real parents are, who the people that really care, because they will reach out. You won't have to reach out to them. They will reach out to you. And that's what we need in this society. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of kids that have grown up that have been rebellious, whether they're women or men. There's a lot of them that have grown up in homes. They're so messed up that they can mess someone else's children up. And that's what has happened with a lot of us. Our children get involved because of their innocence. They get involved with people that have grown up in an environment that teaches hatred, or that's not there for them, the parent's not in the picture, or they're not getting the attention they need. And so they go out and they try to rebel against the parents by getting involved with people. The parents may not want them to get involved, just to get that attention from the parent. This is happening all over the country. It's a shame, but these are the things that happen.
That's right. Because like I said last time, you know, I know I was a good kid, but I was a rebellious kid because my mother, my father wasn't around. My mother remarried, and then my stepfather accepted. He was being the father that I should have had, but I gave him the blues because I didn't want to listen to him because my thing was, you're not my father. So that's the problem was, you were my father because my father didn't care about me. So here's my thing is, how can I hold him responsible for something that my grandfather didn't do anything about? He was trying to be there so I wouldn't go the wrong way. And he did a good job for me for a while, but you know what? I rebelled so much, and that was wrong. You know, I see him now, and I go by and see him when I'm back in Ohio, and I tell him, I said, man, I really do appreciate everything you did for me. Because, you know, now I have a daughter, and he's seen my daughter, and he calls her his granddaughter. And we're still close. You know, and the whole thing is, these kids that do have step-parents, there is a man who's going to be in your life. Just because your daddy's not there doesn't mean that the stepfather can't help you the way you should be helped. I'm not saying he's going to do everything right because he's not your father. I get that. But don't hold him back. Don't hold him accountable because what your dad didn't do. This man can probably be able to do you the right way that you need to be because she's there to help your mother take care of you. A mother, like I said before, a mother cannot raise a boy by herself. It takes more than just that. A mother's love is one thing, but how are you going to teach? She can't teach me to be a man. And that's the main thing is I want people to understand that. My friend Danielle, she has an autistic son, and I talk to her all the time. I help his dad around, but not around like that. I'm not going to put him out there like that. But I help potty train him through the telephone on IMO. I taught him how to go to the bathroom like a boy in the toilet. He was always sitting down using the bathroom. No, you need to stand up, use the bathroom. So I'm teaching him how to do that over phone.
That's why I say virtual. Virtual. People can do things virtually.
Yeah.
It doesn't take. It takes time. It takes a little bit of their time. And I can't imagine how come we cannot get people involved, especially people that have adolescents, that have children. You know, it's almost
You're right. You're telling the truth.
And the prisons, I'll tell you, with the prisons, they diagnose a lot of these prisoners. when they go in. They diagnose a lot of them with antisocial behavior, when in fact they have a lot of them have post-traumatic stress syndrome or ADHD.
That's exactly what it is.
And they diagnose them with that, and it's ridiculous that they do that.
That is so true. We're about to do a thing off our show on Facebook. Danielle's going to do one about that post-stress disorder and incarceration. She's going to do a thing about that because it is something that needs to be told. Because I know I had it when I came home, and I think about it all the time. I see them thinking about it. So I wasn't in the military, but I know I had it because I still get shaky when doors. I can't be in a room with shut doors. Still, I can't. I can't be in with doors shut loud. That still gives me the creeps because it sounds like the prison doors shut. It really does mess with you. And see, that's the thing that these kids are going to have once they get to come home. They're going to have that. They're going to be scared. They're not going to trust no. They're not trust nobody. They're not going to trust anybody. And people don't really trust their parents, but then again, they're going to say their parents didn't love them because you didn't come and get me. That's one of the main things they're going to say. Where were you at? You didn't come and get me. You left me here. You know, and they don't get that. When you go to jail, you're going to jail. Your parents can't get you out. So now you're stuck in there. The first thing you're going to feel is my mother or my father, they don't love me because they left me here. And it's not the whole thing. But see, that's when we have to understand. That's when we have to do as advocates. Have to go there to the system and let these kids know that, hey, that's not what happened. See, your parents love you. The system won't let them take you home. So we have to make sure that we are better. We have to get you right. So when it's time for you to come up to be able to go home, you'll be able to go home. And that way you'll know what you're supposed to do when you get home so you don't come back. And that's what we have to make these kids understand. You get in the pipeline, but you know what? You get yourself out. Branch yourself off and stay away from it. Because it's easy to get in, but it's one heck of a way to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I think that they need to do is, and volunteers could even do this, is fight for single cells. Because, as you say, claustrophobic post-traumatic stress, they need to have their own cells. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be crammed in with another, especially if they're in for a long, long time. And cramming them in with another cellmate is not the answer. Because that's a major problem with people that suffer those illnesses and have been traumatized. So they need to look at single cell status.
Yeah, and then you saw the last with the five, the one out of New York City, the Central Park Five, how the one boy got molested when he was in prison by older kids, older people being a juvenile going to prison. You're going to put them in a cell in a whole holding thing with five or six grown people so you know what's going to happen to him. So why would you put that boy in a cell like that? That's just not right. But see, that's something, another thing that we have to understand too, that we can't let these kids get that far into the system. Because nowadays, you're 17, 16, 17, you do something crazy, a big boy crime, as I always say, then you're going to go through big boy time. But that doesn't make any sense for these kids to go to prison. You're not mentally, just because you're 16, you're not mentally stable. You're not mentally in the brain that age. You're younger. You act younger than that. You get younger than that. So you're 15, 16, 17 going to prison, a grown man, 40, 50 years old, of course they're going to take advantage of you. They're going to say, oh, there, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Yeah, they're going to take care of you, but it's with the cost. With the cost, that's the whole problem. It's with the cost, extortion, all that type of stuff. Your parents want to come out of money, take care, get put money on their books. So that's how it goes. That's how they look at you. It's a breeding ground. And so when these young kids go into prison, women too, they don't need to go. And juveniles don't need to go into the big boy system. No, they're not mentally right for that.
Yeah, and there's so many that are in that have been in for 20, 30 years, and they went in when they were 18 years old, 15 years old. 16 years old. And like I say, people, the volunteers, and people on Facebook that listen to this video, all we're asking is that you participate, making phone calls, because in numbers, you can make it so that they have single cell statuses. You can make it so
that
they get their diagnosis for their post-traumatic stress syndromes or their ADHD or ADD. A lot of people say they don't want to a lot of people are afraid to volunteer because they don't know what to do. But you know what? I would even help in this situation. If people were to come on board with you and have the monthly teleconference calls. They can be trained online to know how to write or what to write, where to write, who to write. We could train them, it would only take a couple of teleconference meetings. But again, we need to have people that care and care enough to want to help.
Please do. Please do. Because like I said, I have people that are in my group that are certified in that. I'm going to put a lady in my group here soon who is a counselor. She has her own. She deals with kids and adults with education issues and stuff like that. That's what she deals with. So I see I have people in the group like that, people you can talk to. I have lawyers in the group. I have people who are nurses in the group. I have people, all kinds of people in these groups that can help people, parents and stuff like that, who have children in the system. Just because they're in the system doesn't mean they're less than a person.
Yeah.
Because I'm here to tell you, I will definitely help you. We will definitely help you. It'll take us some time, but we can get through the red tape. Like I said, I have attorneys who I can talk to. I have an attorney who's in Atlanta, who she's a big wig on this. And she said, I'm here for you, whatever I need. And that's what I do. And if there's anything I can do for anybody, please reach out to me. I'm not a hard man to find.
And again, for those that are in school, those that are listening in on Facebook, those who are going to college for some kind of degree and they need to do their internships, or they need letters of recommendation or letters of support, I would be willing to, for New Vision Organization, I would be willing to you know, give them a letter of recognition or a letter of support for their school. Those who are wanting the experience, those who are going to school
for
criminal justice, those who are going to school for law or paralegals or social work or psychology, they could get their certificates. They can get their letters of support. We you, Stephen, between the others that you're networking with, those that I'm networking with, we can get their letters of support. They can do their internships through you. But again, there's so much that they can gain as well in their participation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can. That's a big thing. You're right. That's all we need to do is all come together hand in hand. We can destroy. We can put a big dent in it. We can let them know that we're not playing. These kids got to be helped. We're going to help these kids one way or another. We're going to help these kids. We're going to do it our way, or we're going to do it the hard way that we can protest and make sure these kids know that we care. That's a big thing. We just need to let these kids know that we care. There's people out here in these streets. There's people out here behind the walls, outside the walls, who care. And we love y'all. And we want you to understand that we are here for you. I'm here for you. I have a 20-year-old daughter. I keep saying that time and time again. I have a 20-year-old daughter, and I am there for you because I would go crazy if my child was locked up.
Yeah.
And she was in the pipeline. No, I can't have that. I hate seeing these kids get locked up. And people say, well, you old school. I said, yeah, I'm old school. Yeah, I'm old. But you know what? I know what it took for to stay out the system for all them years, but I still went in because that was my doing. That was my fault.
Old school is the best school.
That's right. Old school is the best school. That's right, because there's no such thing as grandmas no more. They used to take care of you, used to whoop you when you do something crazy. There's none of that no more.
No.
Now, we talk about that all the time and laugh about it. I said, I remember when my grandmother used to pop me in the mouth for saying something crazy, and just that's what it is. You know what? Guess what? I didn't die. I'm still here. I'm a better person for it.
A lot more wisdom, too.
And that's right, because I can help. I can tell anybody not to do that, but it's best. Sometimes, you know, my pastor told me that sometimes you had to go to prison to learn before you start doing what you're doing now, because nobody's going to listen to you if you didn't go. Because who's going to listen to me inside the penitentiary if I go and speak if I've never been inside? They're not going to relate to me. I relate to them because I've been inside. I know. But
that's right.
It. Yeah, I tell you. Things we have to do to change this stuff. We have to change the system. We really do.
And that's why, Stephen, I would like to have you back next Friday, same time.
Yes, ma'am.
And hopefully we'll have an update, and we'll just keep doing this until we see or hear of some godly people that are willing to join in and be a part of this national effort to stop the school-to-prison pipeline. And, again, I think what you're doing is awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your support. I do appreciate it.
As I said, in any way that any of us in the organizations that are willing to network with you, that are willing to be a part of this, we'll be glad to do it, because what you're doing is trying to save the children of America and the children all over. from just the example, a fine example of, mm-hmm. of what should be done. So it was really, really good having you on, and I'm sorry that the time is running out so quickly, and I've done a lot of the talking.
That's okay.
But
that's what we do. It's all right. You're passionate about stuff you talk. That's right. It's okay.
Okay. So we will see you next Friday, same time. Thank you once again, Stephen. It's been a pleasure having you on with us again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good night, everybody.
We are now ending this episode.